Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Veterans Day is this Tuesday, and this year, Delaware can point to an increased commitment to the 72,000 vets living in the first state. Earlier this year, state lawmakers passed, and Governor Matt Meyer signed, legislation creating Delaware's first state-level Department of Veterans Affairs with a cabinet-level secretary. Meyer then selected retired Brigadier General Karen Berry to serve as the first Veterans Affairs Secretary. She stepped into that role October 1st. Brigadier General Berry retired from the Delaware National Guard in 2023 following more than three decades of service. She was the first female in the Delaware National Guard to hold a brigade command position and earn the rank of Brigadier General. Since retiring from the Guard, she served as a Veterans Advocacy Specialist at Delaware Tech's Owens campus. This week, retired Brigadier General Karen Berry joined me to discuss the new Department of Veterans Affairs and how she plans to build it. When Governor Meyer and his team approached you about becoming the first secretary of this new department, what was your initial reaction? Was it unexpected?
It was. I actually got a phone call the day that he signed the bill, the afternoon of. And so, yes, I was not expecting it. And I'm leaving retirement. My husband is newly retired, and we had all these big plans, and I just figured, you know what, God has a different plan for me.
Was there any, I don't want to say trepidation, but you know, uncertainty if you wanted to leave retirement to do this, or did you figure this is an opportunity you couldn't pass up?
I think because I know it's needed.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can do good. You know, I'm hoping that I can do good for and be a help, so that veterans in Delaware get some focus, get educated, and have availability of resources. And it helps that you're brand new in a position because you get to create it. So mm-hmm. I don't have the stress of trying to fill in someone else's shoes. I'm creating the job. And so I feel like there's flexibility in that. And I was looking forward to being retired and traveling at will. But there's time for that. And I just figured God has a plan, and I just have to go with it.
With that in mind, I mean, do you see this as more of a challenge, building it from the ground up, as you mentioned, or as an opportunity to do something new and better?
I think it's both. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge because I will have in the first month had people reach out to me and my team. And what's funny, you know, I do have a team, but the team that's in place has a big job, and we're not staffed at the level we need to for them to do their mission effectively. And so for me to pull resources from an already resource-deficient area of our Office of Veterans Services is problematic. So there's a challenge in that way, but it is an opportunity to help them grow in their area and then build the department by working with other secretaries to kind of figure out what right might look like for our department.
You mentioned the Office of Veterans Services. And until now, the state's veterans have been served by that office and the Commission on Veterans Affairs. They're going to be folded into this new department. What are some of the practical implications of moving in this direction? What can this department hopefully do that the office and the commission weren't able to do or couldn't do?
I think that with the cabinet-level secretary, mm-hmm. I can interact with the other cabinet levels, whether it's Health and Human Services, whether it's the State Housing Authority, whether it's Department of Corrections, Department of Labor. I can work with them to figure out where we have overlap in areas that support one another. Mm-hmm. And that takes that off of the office that's doing the busy work of meeting with veterans day to day. And then our commission, who's comprised of volunteers, it helps, like they help me outreach to the community and keep that open. And so in the initial stages of this, I've been going out mm-hmm. On the tour of Delaware, if you will, and taking our brand new executive director of the Office of Veterans Services with me so that we can go out and meet the veterans and talk in different places and meet with different folks. And most of the ones that are really vocal, mm-hmm. they definitely show up. So we get to hear from the vocal group and understand what's bugging them.
Mm-hmm.
and then start working on plans. And then as we do that, we also get to meet with some of the less vocal veterans. We'll reach out. And so we figure out where we need services, where there's gaps. We know, you know, the Office of Veteran Services know where some of the gaps are. But some of the gaps are really just communicating from Health and Human Services to us and really just educating the public, not just the veterans, but it is a lot like of education of veterans themselves. This is what's available to you. This is how you go about that process. If something isn't going the way they expected. So, mm-hmm. you know, this is true of anyone, not just veterans. But if you have a certain answer that you may not like, mm-hmm. It doesn't change the fact that that's the answer. So then if there is something that a policy that's out there that's not meeting the needs of the veterans, then we take note of it. And then I can take care of that. The Office of Veteran Services can continue their day-to-day work right. of meeting with and trying to help veterans with immediate issues, and I and the team that I will build can work on the policy, the legislation, and the things that are above them that they don't have the time to work with, but I can kind of focus on helping in those areas so that it makes the veterans and their families' lives easier, but also helps our team know where different resources are or if we can make changes in legislation.
So for you working at that higher level, being you know at the cabinet table is kind of a game changer in terms of what you think you can accomplish for the veterans, you know, on some of the issues that they're talking about.
Absolutely.
So, you know, one of the other things that this department will have oversight of is the two veterans memorial cemeteries and the state-run veterans home. The home has seen issues with staffing. Is that among your top priorities?
It is. I have an office there, and mm-hmm. so I'm getting to work with the team there. And so it isn't that they don't – the staffing issues at the home are not that – We have a good patient to staff ratio there. The issues are we're having to contract folks into the jobs because it's less attractive. Even with bonuses and different opportunities, the pay scale for a contract nurse, RN or LPN, for example, right. versus what our state pay is there. There's a balance. And so it can be hard and it's challenging times right now for everyone.
Sure.
So people are looking for the higher paycheck. We're trying to convince them don't lose sight of a state job and the great benefits that come with it and the retirement mm-hmm. pension plan that's built in that you might not have in this higher paying job. So that's also an education piece that we have to work through. So, but they, I'm working right with that team day to day and get to see what their struggles are, what their challenges are, and a lot of it's education so that people understand who's eligible,
right?
And how you fit into the piece there.
One of the things you were talking about earlier is just kind of general awareness for Delaware veterans of the benefits that they're entitled to: tax credits, discounted fees, licenses, educational opportunities. You talked about outreach. Are there some other specific ways you feel like you can get the message out to veterans about what they already have?
So some of its barriers, your veteran population has a tendency to think that they don't need or that maybe they don't deserve or they feel like they're less deserving than someone else that has visible signs of being involved in the war. And so kind of getting people over that hurdle to help meet them where they're at, and that just meeting them where they're at mentally, where mm-hmm. they're at, and that's the job of our VSOs to help us with that. The other piece of that is how do we connect with them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're down in Sussex County where I live, you're very dispersed, and so we have to be creative in. I think we have, for the most part, reached out to our Vietnam veteran area. We still have a group of that population that's still hurt from the way they were treated
sure.
years ago. But generally speaking, I feel like we're overcoming that. But we still have some outreach for those types of folks to make sure that we help them over any continuing hurdles that are in place for them. For the folks that are global war on terror, so you know, after 9/11, that's just a younger population that's busy going through the meat grinder of day-to-day life, raising a family, working. And so how do we meet them to make sure that they're aware of the benefits that they might have been overlooking, and then get them connected to community? Because I feel like a big issue that we have is people feel disconnected. And so my big goal is how do we connect all these people? Because I think that's a huge piece to improving the mental well-being,
sure,
of not just the veterans, but even their families. Because if a veteran's struggling and they're disconnected from a community where they feel understood and heard, then their family is also hurting. And so getting those connections and making those connections is going to be a huge, helpful thing for the veterans in our communities.
And you mentioned you've been out there already trying to meet veterans where they are. Have you heard any specific issues that have come up that you feel like, oh, okay, that's something that needs to be prioritized?
I think it's access, just access to resources and awareness. The most vocal veterans are the veterans that are getting are our older generation of veterans, and I think they feel like they're carrying the load on their own, and so they're wondering where folks of my age, my generation, or younger, where are we at? Because that's what I heard even before I came into the job. Like, they just feel like membership, and where are the folks? We know there's a lot of other veterans out there, and they're not part of our American Legion, VFW, DAV, you know, all the different wonderful organizations we have out there. They just want to know, where are they at? I was like, we have to bridge that gap.
And that's important for you in terms of outreach, right? If you can have them in those communities, it makes it a lot easier to reach them because they're in congregated spaces.
Yes.
I'm curious, you mentioned during your confirmation that one other thing you would do is like reach out to peers in other states to see what Delaware can learn from them. Have you had a chance to do that so far? And if you have, what have you learned?
So we have regional meetings. We have two meetings a year at this National Association of Veterans Organizations. Mm-hmm. And so it's my peers at all the different state and territory levels. We have regional meetings, and we had one a couple weeks ago that the director, Tony Bordeaux, and I were able to be on. And so through there, we understand national level issues that are going on and how our peers are interacting. There's a new program afoot for VA, for community health care scheduling. And that is a thorn in every veteran side that is involved. Like, I call and it rings and rings and rings, and different folks are frustrated at different levels. And it's not the actual care, mm-hmm, necessarily that they're getting. It's getting it scheduled. And so there's a brand new program out that we wouldn't have known about had we not been a part of this national organization. I reach out and say, hey, I see you have some of these setups. How is that funded in your state? And so those are the ways that I'm trying to leverage those relationships.
That's already kind of an example of why having that kind of state level, cabinet level position really makes sense, because it puts you in those conversations that maybe we weren't in already.
Absolutely.
The law requires the department to be operational by July 1, 2030. Do you feel that can or will happen sooner?
I would imagine it will. Mm-hmm. And so, right now in the fiscally challenging times we're in nationally, so that's not the most open discussion, and that's not first and foremost on everyone's mind. But as I plan out even who my team is, I will be working with the Department of Human Resources, Secretary Gordon, mm-hmm, and talking about how does that look like. You know, I'll look at different positions and say, hey, I think I've talked to different cabinet level members. I'm going to need community outreach or legislative liaisons, mm-hmm, on my team, because right now I'm kind of doing that myself. And so I will look out and we'll figure that out. And then there's budget lines that go with that. And so right now the Department of State is supporting and funding us for now. Mm. We've broken apart where we're handling the cemetery. We are overseeing like the cemetery budget and our office budget, and they are still taking the lead on the veterans' home. Mm-hmm. But I'm down there learning that, sure, process as we go through. So even when we go into next year's budget season, I'll do the military, we call it a right seat ride. I will sit with the Department of State's team as we're going through the budget for the veterans' home so that I hear what the asks are and the questions are, and I'm involved in that. And I can take some of the – like I'm there every day working down there, or just about every day. I'm kind of all over the place right now. But I'm down there. So I talk to the veterans. I know this – like I'm talking to the staff. And I can see operationally what's going on and understand what they're doing better than perhaps. I think the Department of State did a decent job of trying to go down there.
During this transition time, do you feel like there are some things you will be able to accomplish on some of the priority list type of things kind of concurrently with just getting this whole thing organized? Because it feels like that's what you're going to try to do. But that's definitely a heavy lift.
They like if I'm prioritizing, it's definitely the first priority is to go out and feel where the veterans feel left out, because some of the outreach, if people aren't coming into us, it's because they don't feel like they're heard.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that just the act of being out and present will bring some of the folks back in that might have felt like, oh, it's not worth it. Like, I'm not going to be able to do that. So I have to be first ready to support with my Office of Veterans Services, have the team in place that can support that influx of needs. I will help be a point when the legislator has questions. I find this even in some events that I'm doing like this. People don't distinguish the difference. So I'm very familiar with the Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And how it operates. My husband was the adjutant general, and I was an assistant adjutant general in another state. But I understand how those things work. But I think a lot of times folks don't understand that veterans' issues are separate from the operational, like day-to-day business of the active duty AGR, or even the guardsmen, traditional guardsmen like I was. They're separate, and where some people see, oh, it involves a service member, or it involves, and they will push the problem to, like they will push a concern, I shouldn't call it a problem, a concern to me that someone has, and I'll look at it and go, I know where that goes.
Right.
But so I'm kind of dealing with that. There's
sure.
a lot of overlap, and people don't understand the separation of veteran services versus the actively serving.
So as we wrap up, is there a message you'd like to give Delaware veterans as we approach Veterans Day?
Veterans Day, and a big message for me, Veterans Day is one of the many days in the year where we as veterans and our families get to connect. And so I think of like my mother, whose husband was a Vietnam veteran, and two of her children were in the military and deployed, and her son-in-law deployed, and one of her grandchildren deployed. And so it's not just about veterans, it's about the families, the support systems of families. These are days where we get to kind of link up and recognize each other, honor the service of those that are, have gone before us. My best friend's father was a World War II veteran, and I know Veterans Day is special to her. Her son's now currently serving, and he's still serving, but he's also a veteran. And so these are important days out there to kind of connect with others. So I hope the veterans out there make an opportunity on Veterans Day, at least, but as many times during the year to reconnect, because it makes a difference.
Thanks to Delaware's Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary, retired Brigadier General Karen Berry, for joining us on The Green this week. And stay with us. We learn more about what a recent survey of first day teachers tells us about how satisfied educators are with their jobs. That's next on The Green here on Delaware Public Media.